I'd like to just be clear, don't confuse No Planet B cast with No Planet B cats. I've had a few complaints in regards to that.
What's No Planet B cats?
Well, but clearly it's kind of self-explanatory. It's an account run by cats, okay? And they're doing different stuff, and they'd really appreciate it if they weren't getting questions and emails from our like base. So I just wanted to clear that up to keep any future.
They're too busy doing stuff.
Confusion. Just clearing it up. Just
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to No Planet B, a podcast where we're talking about climate change and its effects on Planet A. I'm Brianna.
And I'm Wyatt. And in this episode, we're talking about climate fiction. Specifically, we're talking to Chris Tavener about his project, The World's Revolution, which is an anthology of different climate fiction stories. It's really, really cool. If you want to check out the website, it's theworldsrevolution.com. They're right now accepting submissions for anyone who wants to do climate writing. Or write about climate fiction. And yeah, we're talking about his project. We're talking about how fiction can be used in advocacy and how it can inspire interest in certain climate-related subjects. So without further ado, here's that interview.
Thanks for being on, Chris. What is The World's Revolution?
Yeah, so first off, thanks for having me on to talk about the project, The World's Revolution. So this has been kind of an idea that's been floating in my head. We have climate fiction setting where a lot of authors can kind of hop into the space, write stories in that space, and then get paid for their stories that are written in that space. And so what we've created, a sci-fi fantasy climate fiction setting that takes place a few decades in the future, where the world, the planet, is kind of starting to push back against the harm that humans have caused to it through climate change. And that is manifesting itself in a lot of really interesting, maybe terrifying, maybe hopeful, maybe good ways. And in some instances, that's manifesting through humans or through people, a group of people or whatever. We're trying to make it very open-ended. Like, it's very much a prompt where it's like, this is what's happening, and now go with it. It's like we've got some rules spelled out about like what has happened, but it's really supposed to be this really fun, almost like a climate fiction MCU sort of thing, where we can have writers hop in, tell really cool stories about the climate crisis that are also designed to inspire hope for solutions and change.
That's really cool. This is like the first time I've heard of a project like this, so I think it could really be special.
Yeah, we're really excited. It's one of those things where, you know, I started as a science fiction and fantasy author writing about stuff that is not climate related. But as I got really involved in learning more about climate change and becoming a so my day job is I'm a public interest environmental attorney. I'm like, okay, I need to integrate those two into the same thing. And how can we do this in a way that is also uplifting the voices of a lot of different people? And bringing their stories in. So like, I'm really excited because we've just finished a Kickstarter. We hit our minimum goal. So we're going to be able to pay authors a minimum rate of a 1 cent per word, which is really exciting. Hopefully in the future, we can pay people more than that. But the whole goal is to, you know, bring as many authors into the fold and uplift lots of really cool stories. And hopefully it can become a platform that's, you know, there's going to be the fun stories, you know, the characters fighting the climate crisis and stuff, but then hopefully it can also be a really cool platform to talk about climate change and the climate crisis and all these related issues.
So was it your job that inspired the project, or did something else happen?
So I studied philosophy when I was in undergrad, before I went to law school. And it was like essentially in that like moment between undergrad and between going to law school that I decided I'm going to pursue a career in environmental law because of climate change. It was like really kind of this like threshold moment as I was finishing school where I'm like, and I was learning, it was my, I took a, it was actually, I think just kind of like a lot of different little things that were like, hey, climate change is like a serious existential threat to like the future of our species. And so I kind of set myself on that career path of environmental law. And I'd always been writing sci-fi stories. And once I started really thinking and learning a lot about climate change, I started thinking about how do I integrate this knowledge that I'm learning about climate change into those stories? How do I make sure that climate change is integrated so that as, you know, hopefully if people read my stories, they're kind of taking those little nuggets and thinking about them and being like, oh, climate change is something that is important that we should care about. And so that's really, it is, I would say, my career as a attorney in public interest environmental law that is very much driving the fact that I want to also be integrating the themes of climate change into literature as well.
So what would you say came first, your passion for climate advocacy or your passion for writing?
Yeah, so I kind of hinted at this. I think it was a little bit revealed in my last answer, but I've definitely writing was first. I would say I think many authors can kind of relate to this, that, you know, there's a certain point when you're growing up where all of a sudden you're just like, I want to write stories. And then you just kind of have this urge to never stop writing stories. And so I think like the first, and it was a spectacularly bad story. The draft is like somewhere on my computer still. But like when I was like 8 or 9, I essentially just made like a clone of like Star Wars. And, you know, I've got like a story that I was writing that was just attempting to make a sci-fi book of that sort. But it's really that, you know, as any author knows this feeling where it's like you just continually have ideas in your mind and you put those on paper. Some of them suck. Some of them are cool. Some of them are in between. And then you just work to find the ones that you think are worth trying to put out there. And, you know, so that's been there for a long time. And then when I started learning about really diving into the work of climate advocacy, that's where it's like, okay, how do I merge these two? How do I ensure that what I'm writing about is also doing the work that we need to do to solve this huge problem that we're facing?
So do you have some examples of some stories that'll be included?
Yeah. So we have a few like concept stories written. To give people an idea of what we want, and we're exploring how we want to use those over the next few months as people write stories for us, and then also into the future, because we don't want this to be a one-off project. We want this to be kind of a recurring annual thing. And so we have one story out right now that I wrote as like a concept story that people can actually download for free on our website, called just simple Catalyst, a prelude to the world's revolution. And it's very much a story where a character is actually a climate advocate for a nonprofit at like a future version of the Conference of the Parties for like the UNFCCC. And something crazy happens there that is kind of like a catalyst story. Really, it's kind of a tragedy, really. But like it's a story used to illustrate to potential authors what sort of story we're kind of looking for. Give an idea of like, you know, a character who is advocating for climate justice goes through, like, not every character should be like a nonprofit advocate. We want to see like every possible circumstance, but that's just like one example of someone going through something and then something kind of crazy happening. But we also have, so the authors that I've been working with on the back end of this project, a number of them have also written stories to kind of give these concepts. And really one of the stories is a woman who has a power to like transform into an animal. So like we've got like that wild like sort of situation. Or there's a story about a character who is growing up really, really obsessed with getting an internship at a like a sustainable agriculture company, and then like sustainable because then she ends up going in and discovering that they're like secretly doing factory farming underground, and then she has to like resolve that. So like it's like those sorts of like crazy ideas that, like, you know, will be really exciting stories, but are also kind of revealing, you know, the complexities of the issue of the climate crisis and all the different solutions that can go into it. I mean, the thing about climate change is that it's an issue that intersects so many things, from you know, issues of like how our economic system works, to racial injustice, to access to water and basic resources, like and how we build our infrastructure. There's just so many things that intersect. There's so many opportunities for people to write stories that are getting at those, like, really nuanced parts of climate change and climate justice, while also maybe throwing in that really cool science fiction fantasy twist that they want. I'm also totally game for people not to include a hook in the story that's that sci-fi fantasy, because there's also going to be just regular people in this setting doing things. Not everyone's going to be having a crazy experience.
Is there always going to be a hero character, would you say? Or that's not necessarily important for getting the message across?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So one of the things that I think is really important when thinking about climate change and the climate crisis and solutions to the climate crisis is that there's not going to be some hero that shows up and saves the world for us. You know, this is a collective problem. It's going to take a collective solution. And so one of the things that I'm really going to be looking for as we review the stories that people submit and review and put this story, this narrative together and weave these different characters in, is for people who are really thinking about if there is a hero in the story, how are their actions inspiring people to take action themselves? Or how are they integrating into some greater movement that is building within their community? And how are they serving that greater movement? Because, like, I think the worst thing that could happen for in the real world, how we're seeking to solve the climate crisis, is for people to expect someone to swoop in and save the problem without them having to join the collective fight.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, it's definitely not going to just take one person.
And that's one of the reasons why I kind of really wanted to build out this, like, anthology, this setting where lots of writers are telling stories. Because, I mean, it takes lots of people to talk about and solve the climate crisis.
And so having all these different stories, do you think inclusivity is going to be important for, like, as you're reviewing these stories and picking what you want to include?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we've included in our submission guidelines for the World's Revolution is an emphasis on, if an author has a personal relationship with the climate crisis or environmental injustice or colonialism or exploitation, or maybe they're a member of an indigenous group or whatever, I want those stories uplifted, especially because those are the stories of people that are actually, like, on the front lines of the climate crisis. And so, like, we're definitely looking for those voices, and I want those voices, those stories told, because I also don't want it to, like, so I've written a story that is kind of mirroring my experience as an environmental attorney. You know, there's, like, the catalyst story is, like, an advocate in, like, this nonprofit setting. So, like, I don't want 25 people to submit a story that is just like that. I want 25 stories, or I don't know exactly how many stories we're going to accept, but, you know, I want a ton of stories that are from all over the world that are telling lots of different narratives, and the best stories are going to be the ones that are informed by people's personal experiences. So,
yeah, I think that's super important. So it'll be able to reach many different types of readers, not just, like you said, like, people who are advocates.
Well, exactly. And so one of your previous podcasts, you all were talking about privilege in the climate change sphere, and, like, the privilege of who can care about advocating for climate change. And I think that that's incredibly related here, where, you know, there's people who read certain types of stories, relate to those stories for a certain reason. But for something like the climate crisis, where, like, it really is going to take all of us to solve the problem, it's going to be really important for people to read stories and perspectives of lots of different ways to approach the question. And so, you know, when we're talking about solving the climate crisis, in one place or one person's experience it may not be talking about climate change at all. Maybe talking about ensuring that they have access to water 30 years from now because climate change is causing their source of water to disappear. That might be the story that's being told. And that, I mean, that's happening to some people right now. So it's only going to get worse. And so like those sorts of stories are really important for people seeing, you know, like, yeah, my experience in Ohio is one thing. Somebody's experience in a different part of the world is going to be completely different for how climate change impacts them here and in the future.
How do you think this project will impact readers? And onto that, I kind of like to add, for like the goal of this project, do you think it's going to try to bring like newcomers into the space? Or do you think it's going to be for people that are already reading this kind of stuff or for people that are already into environmental studies?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it's definitely, there's going to be the people who see this and are like, I really like climate change. I really like reading. Maybe they like science fiction, fantasy, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to read this. These are going to be cool stories. They're going to make me think about questions that I've not thought about or I have thought about before, but view them in a new light. But there's also one of the reasons why we wanted to lean into this science fiction fantasy genre and adding, especially, I mean, I made the reference earlier to, like, you know, like it's a climate change MCU sort of thing. Is that like it, we've got, there's people who read science fiction and fantasy who maybe have never thought about the climate crisis before, or maybe there's people who are a huge fan of the superhero genre who just don't think about the climate crisis at all. And so giving an opportunity for people to read stories that are going to feel familiar to them in that sense, and then presenting them with these moral questions about, okay, these characters are going through situations that are actually very real. Like someone trying to help their community gain access to fresh water because their previous source of fresh water is now gone, has melted away, literally. If that's the hopefully a reader sees that and goes, hey, I've never thought about that being a possible risk of climate change, and maybe I should care about this issue a little bit more. The hope is, and I think most people who do seriously read for, there's people who are reading like 10 to 12 books a year, that those books mean something to them. They're not just reading it and putting it away. Some people do read to escape, but a lot of really good books get you to think about something. And so the hope is that we're creating a set of stories that people will enjoy and be entertained by, but also will finish it and be like, huh, yeah, maybe I should step into the environmental advocacy space. Maybe I should talk to my local city council about, you know, what we're going to do for climate change over the next few years, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, that's like one aspect of this project that's so exciting, is the idea of someone hopping into one of these stories and maybe like knowing already, obviously, that it's going to be like climate change related, but really just attaching to the story, really enjoying the story, and that being like a vehicle for then caring more.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I'm really excited to do when we put together the final of this first collection, this first anthology, the paperback or the ebook, ways that we can really kind of make that very front and center to, like, you know, if one of the authors who writes one of our stories, say they have a particular cause in their community that they really care about, then how can we uplift that? So like if they're like, hey, at the end of their story, there could be like, hey, this person, the author lives here and this is what they care about. You should check this out. Like, I'm going to definitely be exploring how we can do that to ensure that the work of these authors or their communities are, people are being like, oh, hey, this author just wrote about this issue and created a cool fiction story, but this is a thing that's happening in the here and now, and here's something that you can do to take action on that.
Very cool. Kind of like a call to action at the very end.
Exactly.
How can people support the world's revolution?
I'm very thankful that you asked that question. Well, the Kickstarter actually ends in 57 minutes as of recording this. So you can't support via Kickstarter, I assume, unless you're going to push this out in the next 10 minutes.
We're doing it live.
But I mean, honestly, I would say one, the most important thing for me and our team would be, we now need to get the submission process and like the call for submissions spread as far and wide as possible. Because I mean, I would love to pretend that like I have a platform that is like actually going to be getting in front of the people that I want it to be in front of, but that's not true. I mean, my audience is limited as in where I live and who I know, and I would love to get this spread as far as wide as possible so that we can actually get a very inclusive collection of authors that are from all across the world and all experiences, so that we can uplift those stories. And so like, that's the number one way to support is share. If you're an author, write a story, submit it. If you're not an author, share it. Well, also if you are an author, share it. But if you're not an author, share it out and spread the word as far as possible. Tell everyone you know who likes to write, or really just because we would love to get as many. The best problem that a project like this can have is to get too many submissions. I am going to hate sending rejections to people. Inevitably, we're going to have to do that. But I'm really excited to hopefully get a truly like incredibly diverse and inclusive group that is highlighting the stories from across the world.
Now, I also have, I believe, just one listener question. Sorry, I may have phrased that badly. We got through our list of questions, but now we have a listener question. And this is me reading it for the first time, so I may fumble it a bit. But this is from Claudia. It says, how important do the writers think it is to accurately represent future impacts from climate change in a fictional story? Like, is it about having a fun setting, or is the goal more about showing people what life will be like in that world?
That is such a fantastic question. So it is really important to me that we create a setting that is potentially realistic. One of the things that we've created on our website is essentially, if it was a Word doc, it would be like 6 to 7 pages of just like information about the setting. Cause we want these stories to be roughly taking place between 2040 and 2050. And we have kind of a rough timeline sketching out a hypothetical, world for the setting. We didn't want to get too into the technical details. I'll leave that to the writers to actually do the full research. But it is important to me that the setting we create is realistic. It may not be the most plausible setting. One of the things that we have in the setting is that the United States is actually broken into multiple countries, which is a possible thing. I personally don't think that's
possible.
Particularly likely, but it's possible. But one of the other things that we've injected into the narrative is this idea of a war that was based on the scarcity of water. In this instance, I describe it as like a world water war that occurred between India and China. And that's based on the fact that like that region of the world over the next few decades is going to be incredibly stressed by its water resources. And so there's that idea of what sort of conflicts happen. I do not hope that that happens. I do not want war anywhere. But to answer the question, I've been loose on the details, mostly because I want writers to build this setting themselves. You know, we've set out this framework, but I want it to be really guided by the stories that authors create. And the detail and realism of the climate science is incredibly important to me, because I don't want us to be leaning into either one, super scare tactics. I don't want someone telling a story where like 6 hurricanes hit Florida at once. Like that, no, that's not going to happen. That misrepresents how climate change works. But I also don't want people to ignore the real impacts of what climate change is going to be doing over the next few decades and into the next century. And so there's that. So like, that's realistic. Now, we've got this science fiction fantasy aspect to it where some people might be manifesting like creative environmental powers. And so that's obviously not going to be realistic. But I do want the political settings, the people, the communities, the way that people interacting and trying to solve the climate crisis to be very grounded in reality. So if someone sends me a story where the main character shows up and then just with the snap of their fingers, because they've got like magic rocks on their hand, they fix climate change. That story's not going to be accepted, because that's not how we solve it. That's not how we solve the problem. So, yeah, I hope that answers the question. I love that question because I think it's really important. Fiction, and I would say movies especially. I don't want to throw this movie totally under the bus, but Day After Tomorrow, you know, there's that scene in the, like, partway through the film, you know, where there's like this crazy snap freeze where everything's just like freezing at once, and you know, like the storms are just whipping across the planet. Like, it's a cool visual, but it's not real, and it kind of, I feel like, misrepresented to people about like how climate works. So
yeah, I feel like it's definitely in like an uncanny valley where it's not just realistic, and then it's not also just sci-fi. It's like this in between where you don't want to get anything super wrong, but you're still trying to like predict a little bit.
Right, exactly. So one of the, like, and there's really subtle ways that you can do this. I mean, also though, there are some things that I think that we may not have thought as realistic just even a few years ago, like thinking about how crazy the forest fire seasons have been over the past few years. In the Catalyst prelude story that we have out for people to read, it's one of the characters kind of just like alludes to the fact that like the story takes place in Sacramento, like the landscape there had been overrun by wildfires recently, and like that's real. Like, these communities out west are getting completely devastated by forest fires, and in a way that I think some of us may not have believed possible just like 10 to 20 years ago. And I mean, and that's a real consequence of what climate change is doing to our forests. So I think there's predictions, and there's a lot of science out there about what is going to happen to different parts of the world. I think one of the crazier ones has to do with like if the Amazon is going to stay a rainforest or not. I've seen the temperature charts. Like, I mean, I live here in Ohio, and by 2100, if we stay at business as usual, Ohio's weather is going to look like New Mexico's. And like, I will be like in my 90s at that point. So I am not looking forward to dying when it's like a desert in Ohio.
I get that. I think my last question that I can think of is, do you like the term cli-fi?
Oh my god.
Because I kind of do.
Yeah, that's such a good question. I kinda do. I do not. even though I have to use the hashtag
You say you do not?
I do not. I do not like that term. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well. But you have to use it, because that's what the hashtag is right now.
Okay.
I love it. I think it works.
It works.
It's bad,
just,
but it's good.
I think the only reason, maybe the reason why I don't like it, is because nobody knows what climate fiction is right now anyways.
True.
So by shortening it to cli-fi, nobody knows what you're talking about. So I think that might be the problem there. Only people who know what cli-fi is. It's like, you don't, the first rule about Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. For cli-fi, like.
Oh my god.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism.
I was just going to say, Wyatt, you're going to have to scrap your script of Thanos and the Hurricanes that you were thinking of submitting.
So, you mean rewrite? I'll just rewrite it.
No. I think it's dud now. He stated it wasn't good, and I know you spent a lot of time on it, but
years. not...
I think my only final thought would be is that if people are interested in writing stories for this setting, absolutely drop us an email if you have any questions at all, because I know we're kind of doing this a little bit differently than most short story submission processes, where it's like, you know, they're not trying to build it into like a collaborative setting, so you can just write whatever you want, submit it, and they'll say yes or no. If you have any questions about what you're writing, we've already gotten a few via email, just drop us a note about like, hey, I'm considering putting this into my setting, does this sound cool? And we'll probably say yes, because I want to be as open to anything as possible, except for Thanos stopping a bunch of hurricanes.
Come on.
causing and or stopping. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I may have missed it if you said it, but it could be good to include it here. What is the website and maybe the best email to reach you?
So it's theworldsrevolution.com. That's the website. We also have, we're on Twitter at The World Revolts because The World's Revolution was too long and didn't fit in the title. But The World Revolts, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And so that's where The World Revolts on Twitter. And then you can, our email is pretty basic. It's just contact@theworldsrevolution.com. People can email us there. They can also email me directly at cdtavenor@twodoctorsmedia.com. That's my independent publishing company. And so either of those email addresses work if you have questions about what you're writing. Because we don't, I would rather people reach out with a question first and then revise their story and then submit than them submit and me without them ever asking a question. And like there could be like an easy way for them to have improved their story before sending it in. So, oh, and that brings me up. Our priority deadline for stories is May 1st. We will accept stories after May 1st, but if you get it in before then, you have a higher likelihood of us accepting because we will be starting to really build out what we want included starting after May 1st.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad that you took an interest in wanting to talk about the project. And yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's this was great.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
This is fun.
Hello again, and welcome to the post-interview, the aftermath.
The Twilight Zone.
If you like the episode, the Twilight Zone of No Planet B, the part where who knows who's still listening back here. If you like the episode, give us a rating on iTunes or follow us on Instagram at No Planet Bcast, same handle on Twitter. Or send us an email at noplanetbfsu@gmail.com.
I'd like to...
And thank you so much for listening.
Wyatt.
Go ahead.
I'd like to just be clear. Don't confuse No Planet B Cast with No Planet B Cats. I've had a few complaints in regards to that.
What's No Planet B Cats?
Well, clearly, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's an account run by cats, okay? And... they're doing different stuff, and they'd really appreciate it if they weren't getting questions and emails from our like base. So I just wanted to clear that up to keep any future.
They're too busy doing stuff.
Future confusion. Just clearing it up. Just yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.